What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked this of Bartimaeus in our gospel. It's the same thing, same question as the first thing he says in St. John's gospel when two of his disciples first come to meet him. He asked them, "What are you looking for?" And Jesus asked this of us also. What are you looking for? What do you want me to do for you? See, when he says that, that puts the onus on us. It puts the ball in our court. It's our move. Because sometimes we can be passive in regard to God, in regard to the church and our spiritual life. We might say we just want God to do his thing, to do something to us, and let it just happen to us, you know, and not really knowing or choosing what it is. But God turns it around. What do you want me to do for you? What are you looking for? Jesus is saying this isn't a conveyor belt. This isn't a place to just get swept along, to go with the flow, to do what everyone else is doing. With Jesus, we must take ownership of our spiritual life. What are we looking for? Now, most of us could give a list of a lot of small things that we would want, lots of small things we might like if Jesus did for us, and some medium-sized things too, maybe. But what ultimate things do we want Jesus to do for us? And yet, do we even ask for the small things? Do we even ask for purely practical things? Or do we assume that Jesus doesn't care about that, that we can only ask him for spiritual things? Bartimaeus asked Jesus for a very practical thing. He asked that he might see, that his blindness might be healed. And Jesus gives it to him. Now, he did ask with great faith. Bartimaeus wasn't just asking randomly or just, you know, trying to cover all his bases, seeking out every shrine and every holy man of any variety. He's not just, you know, seeking everyone out to cover his bases if Jesus had turned out to be the right one. No, he actually had faith in Jesus' power. He had already heard about all the healings he was doing, and he had some faith that he actually was the Messiah that was awaited. He's calling him the Son of David. That's a title of the Messiah. So Bartimaeus' request wasn't just pure calculation. It did have a spiritual element. It had faith. But it was a very practical, worldly thing he asked for. And Jesus gave it to him. What do you want Jesus to do for you? And of course, we have some sense that our prayer shouldn't just be for purely worldly things, like asking that we might become rich just so that we can get a bunch of fancy toys, or praying that the Vikings would have a perfect winning season. We're also supposed to ask for things that are possible. And asking for something just for the sake of selfishness probably won't get us very far. But say, asking God for a raise so that you can provide for your family better. Praying for a good vacation or a day off because you realize you need some time to be refreshed. These might sound like worldly requests, but don't be afraid to ask Jesus for them. The saints say that God is pleased when we have great faith in him. He's pleased when we ask him for things because it shows that we trust in his power and in his love. If, like Bartimaeus, we ask with great faith, Jesus might well grant our requests, even for seemingly insignificant things. After all, we're dealing with a God who is all-powerful, who loves us and wants the best for us, and who has repeatedly told us, "Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." Even with miracles, countless Christians have asked for practical things of this world, both normal things and miraculous things, and they have been granted. You know, we often hear and say and act like there aren't any miracles anymore, and maybe there aren't as many miraculous healings anymore. But perhaps there are fewer miracles because we don't ask for them as much. If we ask with faith, Jesus might well say yes. So often we don't even ask for what we need. We don't think to ask, or we think it isn't worth it, or that Jesus doesn't care about the small things in our life. You know, we come to God when we're in great need or great danger, when we have something really big we need and we sense that it's important, but we doubt that God loves us enough to bother with our little needs. We need to have faith in God's power, surely, but we also need to have faith in his love for us. And this is harder to trust in sometimes. It's easy enough to believe that God is all-powerful. It's harder to believe that he actually loves us enough to do something for us. But hasn't God said that he loves us? And even in small things, even the hairs of our head have been counted. Nothing is too small for God. And nothing's too big for God either. Now, perhaps we're good at asking for small things from God, but we haven't lifted our hearts up higher to greater things, to ultimate things. What do you want me to do for you? Now, someone might say, well, I just want to get to heaven while having as much fun on earth as possible. To that person, I would say, really? If that's your mindset, that heaven is only worthwhile as an alternative to hell, but you really want to live totally different than that while on earth, are you really sure that you would like heaven? Perhaps instead you should ask God to conform your heart now to what heaven will be like so that you can learn to treasure that life of holiness even here and now. That's one of the greatest miracles to ask God for, to transform our hearts. And that's the one that he often grants us very quickly when we ask it. Do we want to follow Jesus or not? Jesus won't force us to follow him. At the beginning of John's gospel, when Jesus asked the disciples, what are you looking for? They ask him in reply, where are you staying? What they want is to be with him. He is what they're looking for. And Bartimaeus in our gospel today has a similar response. Once he's met Jesus, indeed, once he's seen Jesus, thanks to his healing, his blindness, Bartimaeus doesn't go back to his normal routine. He doesn't go and find a normal job. He doesn't go back to his family. He follows Jesus. What he directly asked for was his sight, but Jesus gives him more than just that. Bartimaeus, in addition to seeing the world with his eyes, is able to see who Jesus is, who he really is. He already had some faith in him, enough to call out to him, enough to make a fool of himself, shouting for him. But now, after the healing, he realizes that this is someone worthy of devoting his whole life to. And so he follows him. Indeed, Bartimaeus probably went on to become one of the first Christians. After all, he is the only person healed in St. Mark's gospel whose name is given. For all the rest of the people, Mark doesn't give their names, probably because he didn't remember them or know them at all, or perhaps because it's just not essential to the story. But he gives Bartimaeus' name. This suggests that Bartimaeus was actually known to the early Christian community. Maybe he was telling this story too. And so this is kind of like a shout out to Bartimaeus by St. Mark. Bartimaeus probably became a Christian. He followed Jesus. He asked to see, and Jesus showed him not only the world around him, the physical world with healing his eyesight, but he showed him who he was. Who Jesus was. And in learning who Jesus was, Bartimaeus learned who he himself was, that he was a follower of Jesus. That's not a bad set of things to know the world, to know Jesus, and to know yourself. That's pretty comprehensive. It's a wonderful thing to ask for. Lord, grant that I may truly see who you are and who I am. It's a beautiful prayer. What else do you want? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What virtues do you want to have? What experiences in prayer do you long for? You know, maybe you've never felt God strongly in prayer. Maybe you've never felt his love for you. Ask for that. Ask him to show you his love for you. Maybe you want him to heal your marriage or strengthen it. Ask for that. Maybe you want him to move your heart toward greater love for him and for your neighbor. Maybe you want to ask him to give you the grace to love your family well, to be a good parent. Ask Jesus for this. God is the one who called you to this vocation, after all, and he wants you to succeed at it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has shown us how much he loves us, and he's encouraged us to pray. Let's not be hesitant or afraid to answer Jesus' question to us. What do you want me to do for you?